Oh, Father, you have clothed us with gladness. In our prosperity, we thought, what do we need? And then you take prosperity away, and we realize, I've forgotten God. And we run back to you, and you are eager to receive us. Thank you, O God, for drawing us back to yourself, so that in times of prosperity, we will look to you and be thankful. In times of need, we will look to you and be thankful. O Lord God, clothe us with humility. Clothe us with gladness as you have promised. O Lord God, we look to you and we thank you that you are the author of our faith and the finisher of our faith. And how we long, Lord, for that time when we will be thanking you and praising you in heaven. But until that day, O Lord, we know that we will praise you forever and be thankful to you forever. And so help us to be thankful in our days on earth, that your name may be proclaimed among the brethren and throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Our story that we're looking at this evening, and we've been doing this series on Old Testament stories, the story that we're looking at tonight is the story of the Israelites passing through the Red Sea. So we've been using Hebrews 11 for a list of stories, and then when those stories run out, we'll continue with some other stories. I mentioned Naaman this morning, and looking forward to one day opening that story up and looking at the story of Naaman. If there are other stories that are your favorites, one of my favorites growing up was the story of Gideon in the book of Judges, and Lord willing, we'll have time for Gideon. There are other stories that may have caught your attention, been your favorite at some point in time or now. You can send those to me by email, and I'd love to consider those stories. Tonight we're looking at that one event, the crossing of the Red Sea, and in Hebrews 11:29, we read this: by faith they passed. They passed. Not just Moses, but by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. That's the only verse we're going to be looking at in Hebrews 11:29, and it's going to take us back to Exodus 14. So if you want to open your Bible to Exodus chapter 14, we'll spend more time there. But remember, it says here that the Israelites, or they, passed through the Red Sea. They were led by Moses out of Egypt, away from slavery and away from oppression. And Moses is their leader. We've seen Moses' faith. And his faith came from his father and mother, Amram and Jochebed, who hid him in the Nile River, not afraid of the king's edict. And you can be sure that Jochebed, as she was nursing her little baby, would tell him about not being afraid to hide him because they trusted in the Lord. And that would be part of Moses' fearless faith as he stood before Pharaoh and declared to him the word of God, "Let my people go." And then you see Moses' decision to forsake all the treasures of Egypt, even that powerful title that was given to him, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. His obedient faith as he followed, and this was from last week, as he followed the instructions regarding the Passover, the shedding of the Passover lamb's blood, putting that blood on the doorposts so that the angel would pass over the homes of God's people. Now we get to this story about the crossing of the Red Sea, and most of us know this story. Moses' faith is passed to all of the Israelites. They are learning to have faith in God's promises. And we're going to go to the source. We're going to go to Exodus 14. This is after the plagues have come upon Egypt. They are being delivered out of Pharaoh's hand. Pharaoh, who thought he was sovereign and almighty, is overruled by the Almighty God. And God's people are free to leave Egypt, and they're headed for the promised land. But as they leave, Pharaoh changes his mind and decides to chase them down. And when fleeing, they notice, that the Israelites notice, that the Egyptian army is coming. And now they're confronted by the Red Sea, an impassable sea in front of them, and the Egyptian army pursuing them from behind. What will happen to the Israelites? There's a few things that we're going to notice as we read. First, notice the people's weak faith. They're afraid. But their faith doesn't stay weak, or else it wouldn't have been commended in Hebrews 11. Their faith goes from weak to confident faith. They step into the unknown. They step into what was once the Red Sea, and now it's dry land. So that's the first thing we're going to look at, is the people's faith. They're afraid, but then they become confident. Secondly, we're going to notice the Egyptians stepping onto dry land in the Red Sea. They're doing the same thing. But for them, it's not an act of faith. The Israelites operated by faith. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea. The contrast we're going to make is between faith and presumption. The Egyptians acted upon presumption, thinking that if God's people can go that way, certainly we too can cross what was once the Red Sea on dry land. So we're going to notice that, their presumption. And then the third thing we're going to see as we read Exodus 14 is we're going to see the deliverance provided for God's people. And their deliverance points us to a greater deliverance. We noticed it when we heard Stephen's preaching. We see it as we read the Psalms. This isn't just about the Israelites' deliverance from slavery in Egypt. It's about our deliverance from slavery to sin. So 3 points this evening: faith, presumption, and deliverance. Faith, presumption, and deliverance. Here's the account given to us in Exodus 14, starting at verse 10 and going all the way to verse 31. It's rather lengthy, but enjoy the story straight from the source. Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. That's what we're looking at in our first point, right? So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more, forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Oh, how many lessons can we learn from that as we apply it to our lives? And we look over our shoulders and we're afraid and we're drawn to the world. They wanted to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to the world. But stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Verse 15. The Israelites are at the Red Sea. They see the Egyptian army coming. They're afraid. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 15, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. This is the pillar of cloud that was leading the Israelites out of Egypt. Now it goes behind them. Verse 20, so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Verse 22, so the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Verse 24, now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. And he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. The Lord will fight for you. The Egyptians are saying, the Lord is fighting for them. Verse 26, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. You can see why this is a story that is loved by children. And it's a story that you don't forget as you grow old into adulthood and beyond. In the Lord, it's a story that is just so amazing, and it fills us with wonder to read about the power of God and how He delivered His people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, out of slavery in Egypt. Again, our three points are faith, presumption, and deliverance. Number one, faith. Genuine faith at times may be weak, but genuine faith moves forward. This is what we're looking at in this first point. Genuine faith at times may be weak, but genuine faith moves forward. The people were afraid. They cried out, did you bring us out here to die? They complained. Didn't we all just say, leave us in Egypt? They'd barely been gone, and already they want to go back. And this is a faithlessness that will pop up again and again and again in the wilderness. But Moses, a man of great faith, a man who had been taught by God, bolstered the weak faith of the people with these words. Verse 13, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When we're discouraged, those are words for us. When we're afraid, those are words for us. God tells us, be still and know that I am God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you this day. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Forever. The Lord will fight for you. Verse 14 is, the Lord will fight for you. Now this is the same Moses who 40 years earlier had left Egypt in fear. You remember, he had killed an Egyptian. And then when his fellow Israelites are fighting, they say, are you going to kill us too? And he flees in fear and he goes out into the wilderness. But in the wilderness, he is trained by God and then the burning bush. And then he goes back with faith that moves forward. Here he is at the age of 80. He has grown in faith. He's trusting the Lord with his whole heart. He's unafraid of the approaching Egyptian army. You see, that's what genuine faith does. Genuine faith grows. So people of God, take courage. Learn to trust the promises of God. Teach others. Just like Jochebed and Amram. And yeah, it's fun to say their names, but they did teach Moses these things. And Moses is now passing it on to the people. And they're not all as good students as you'd want them to be. And we see that throughout their time in the wilderness. But God is patient. And true faith moves forward. So take courage, people of God. Learn to trust the promises of God. Teach others about the faithfulness of God. Hebrews 12 says, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. You know, doctors are doctors, even if they're not on duty, and they'll see you with a sore or a cut, and they'll say, you know, you should really disinfect that. Or they'll say, you know, if your doctor said not to walk on that, you shouldn't walk on it. And here we are with faith that should be saying to others, you know, if you want that to be stronger, then the ordinary means of grace are there at your disposal. Make use of those things. And that's one way that we strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. It's how we make straight paths for others' feet and for our own feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Encourage one another. Be strong in the Lord. Pass on these truths from one person to another, from father to son, from father to daughter, from grandparent to grandchild, and vice versa. From brother to sister, from sister to brother. Encourage one another. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Moses knew what weak faith was. He's grown so much. Look at his courageous faith now. We know weak faith. So let's encourage others when they have weak faith. Not get down on them. Not hold them down. But bolster them up. So what do the Israelites do in response to Moses' confidence in the Lord? Look at verse 22. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on the left. Genuine faith moves forward. Genuine faith moves forward. Look at verse 22 again. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. And sometimes you can see what others can't see, and you tell them move forward, but they're so afraid to take that next step. But you can lead them on the right way, and if they would just listen to you, their faith would be rewarded. And here is faith that moves forward and is rewarded. God said, go forward. Moses tells the people, go forward. They stepped out in faith, not into a place that was peaceful or calm. They stepped into a place that had large walls of water on either side of them. Can you imagine how frightening that is? The ocean opens up. These looming walls of water. And yet genuine faith crosses over on dry land. They saw the salvation of the Lord. As promised, they saw the salvation of the Lord. Their faith followed Moses in believing the promises of God. Their faith was lifted up, encouraged by Moses. Faith did not open the sea. God did. But faith moved them forward. And by faith, they passed through the Red Sea on dry land. There's application for us here, and we've been making application all along. The Word of God is urging people like us who have weak faith often. He's urging us to move forward. He's encouraging us to move forward. He's patiently teaching us to move forward, although we're afraid. Genuine faith leans on the promises of God, errs on the side of God's truth and promises, errs on the side of trusting what God has said. So we look at our lives today, and there are times when we shrink back. Faith can look back and recall the faithfulness of God, but it doesn't go back. It presses on. Even if it's just a little bit of faith, if it's genuine faith, it will fight the good fight. Leave behind the old life. Break away from the fleshly desires that war against the soul. Lay aside the hindrances that bog you down. So maybe you feel like you look behind you and there's an army coming, and you look in front of you and there's a sea, an impassable sea. Where do you go? Where are you going to go? You cry out to God. He's the one who delivers. Put your faith in the one who holds the future. To live by faith is not easy, but it's good. Let's not forget to encourage one another, to build up one another's faith, to lift up the hands that are hanging down, to strengthen the feeble knees. Pray for one another. We're surrounded by troubles. An army pursues us. An ocean rages in front of us. As Paul wrote, we are hard-pressed on every side. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. Yes, we are struck down. But as God's people, we're more than conquerors. We're hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but we're not destroyed. Go forward by faith and see what the Lord will do. Genuine faith moves forward. So we press on, fighting the good fight of faith. Whatever you do, don't go back. You don't want to go back to Egypt. You don't want to go back to that slavery and that oppression. Whatever you do, don't go back. Go forward and you will see the goodness of the Lord. That's point number one, faith. Faith. Point number two is presumption. The Egyptians were presumptuous when they tried to follow the path of the Israelites through the Red Sea. Presumption is assuming that I am entitled or permitted to have something or do something when it's actually for somebody else. It's kind of like that proverb that Jesus says, you know, when you go in to eat, don't take the prominent seat, lest the one who's holding the party says, you know, sorry, this is not for you. We're going to have to move you to the back. That idea. Or, you know, you go to a game and go, wow, look, the front row is open. Let's go sit there. And then the VIP comes and you're going to have to move to the general seating area. You know, presumption like that. Here the presumption is made by the Egyptians. If the Israelites can go through, certainly we can go through. But that provision was not made for them. It was a provision made by God for His people. And so the Egyptians attempting to cross the Red Sea were drowned. They did the exact same thing. They stepped out between those foreboding walls of water. But instead of deliverance, they died. Exactly the same thing, but different. the Israelites moved forward in faith. The Egyptians moved forward in the hardness of their hearts. Remember, God said, I'm going to harden their hearts and they're going to follow you through the Red Sea. Same action, one by faith, one by presumption. It changes the outcome. There's a commentator, his last name is Fawcett, he writes that the Egyptians' act was a rash presumption that can be mistaken by many for faith. Same thing, right? Think about that. The Red Sea parted. The Israelites step out. The Egyptians step out. Same act, different foundation. Same act, different outcome. It reminds us of the story of Cain and Abel. It wasn't too long ago that we were looking at their story that opened Hebrews 11. They both sacrificed. One acted in faith. That was Abel. And Cain acted in the hardness of his heart. Both sacrificed. One was accepted, the other was not. Here it is again. The Israelites and the Egyptians stepped onto the dry land that was once the Red Sea. And the Israelites are delivered, the Egyptians die. What's the difference? It's faith. Faith moved them forward, the Israelites. Hard-heartedness, presumption moved the Egyptians forward. You know, you might have seen a movie about the crossing of the Red Sea. There was a time when you could go to Universal Studios and they show you the place where they filmed that scene, the parting of the Red Sea. It was a long time ago. It's an old movie. But it only adds to people thinking about this event as fiction. We live in a culture of truth or fiction and getting the two mixed up. Remember that this story is real. And it's our story. It's our family's deliverance from slavery, and it's given to teach us about faith in the true God. So what can we learn? Here's what that same commentator observes. He says, Fawcett, with similar presumption, many rush into eternity. The same things done by the believer and the unbeliever are not the same thing. What was faith in Israel was presumption in the Egyptians. As the people of God, we have faith in the loving kindness of God. We know that without His grace, we're condemned. But in Him, we have life, based on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's love is our gospel hope. Right? That's what we know. But there are those today who presume upon the kindness and love of God. And their presumption says that, you know, God is really too kind to send people to hell. The God that I personally believe in would never do that. You know, I personally believe in a God who is the God of love, and He would never punish me or anyone. Both think that they're talking about the love of God, but it's very, very different. One believes by faith in the Word of God. One presumes upon God based on humanly weak thoughts about who God should be. Do not presume upon God. Don't rush into eternity presuming upon God. Hard-heartedness against God and His Word, presuming that everything somehow is going to be okay, is foolish. There are stern warnings given in the Scripture about those who would lift themselves up above God. Believe God's Word when He says, he who does not believe is condemned already. The same thing done by the unbeliever and the believer is not the same thing. The Israelites moved by faith and they were delivered. The Egyptians moved forward in presumption and they were destroyed. One last thing is this deliverance. This deliverance provided for God's people through the Red Sea points us to a greater deliverance. First, in Hebrews 11:29, the people of God were delivered from the Egyptians through the Red Sea. It says, by faith they. So this is their faith. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. It's an impossible situation. But our God is the God of the impossible. He performs a great miracle by opening the Red Sea, and the people go across on dry land, escaping the Egyptian army. And then in Exodus 15, if you still have your Bible open, you can look at it, because here we have this song of praise from Moses, the song of Moses as they're delivered by God. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 7. It says, "I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea." So you're picturing, I hope, the Egyptians on their chariots and their horses saying, "We'll get them." "I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, for He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him. My father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army He has cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of Your excellence, You have overthrown those who rose against You." And just as Moses had promised, because God had promised, faith moves forward and sees the salvation of God. But that deliverance that we glory in as part of our history, as God's people, that deliverance is only a taste of the greater deliverance. I should say the greatest deliverance, just like we looked at the greatest healing. This is what John Owen writes. "This destruction of the Egyptians, with Israel's deliverance being secured, was a type and pledge of the victory that the church will have over its anti-Christian adversaries. The church triumphant. The deliverance out of Egypt was but a shadow of God's people," that's us, "being delivered out of sin's bondage. The deliverance out of Egypt was but a shadow of God's people being delivered out of sin's bondage." And that's not just an assumption, because in Revelation 15, guess what song the victorious saints of heaven are singing? They're singing the song of Moses that we read about in Exodus 15. It's in Revelation 15, and just read a few verses and you'll see the connection. In Revelation 15, the saints triumphant are singing verses 2 through 4. "And I saw something like," this is John writing, "and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are Your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear You, O Lord, and glorify Your name? For You alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before You. For Your judgments have been manifested." O people of God, in a time where victory for the church, because we're living in these very conflicted days, here's a message of victory. Here's a reminder of what is ours in Christ Jesus. Here is hope for tomorrow. Here is hope for every day of our lives. Here is hope for forever. Forever. We're not just going to be thanking God for the next few days. We're thanking God forever. It's not just for a lifetime, it's forever. What a great God we serve. Why would you put your faith anywhere else? And so, people of God, here is a message for us. Move forward in faith and see the salvation of the Lord. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, Your name is exalted throughout the world. And Lord, You delight in using us to give glory to You. And so, Lord, we give glory to You, and we live lives that are thankful. Help us, Lord, to move forward in faith. Increase our faith. Oh, Lord, we cry out to You because our faith is weak. We cry out to You because our faith has sometimes failed. We cry out to You, O God, because we're done with the world and we want to be more like Christ and we want our eyes to be set on the eternal prize. And so, Lord, help us to see You and to move forward in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.